Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Do you have a heavy metal-related business? Do you promote concerts? Do you sell t-shirts, music, instruments, alternative lifestyle products? Then come advertise with us. Radioactive Metal is the perfect place to promote your business. Go to advertisecast.com/780 to see all of our advertising options.
Tonight's episode of Radioactive Metal is dedicated to Black Mark Production boss Sturg Borge, the boss Forsberg.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. Horns up! This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a Varging episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 473, and I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
I'm Bath Salt.
Bath Salt. And this is Aaron. That's all right. And that was Corrine, also known as Bath Salt.
Or Countess Bathory.
I know. What's going
that's,
on tonight?
That, look. Bring that's it. All I have. I don't know. I was trying to think of Bathory, and then I was like, Bathory! Bathory! And then I got bath salts out of all of that.
I immediately went to bloodbath.
Oh, goodness. All right. It's got to be one of those episodes, people.
Oh, it sure is. Because, Rock, when you counted us in with 3-2-1, I thought, 3-2-1. Welcome to the Church of Suicidal. We've got this church for you and a wonderful revival. I blew the lyrics.
That's okay.
you know where I'm going. Lights, camera, revolution. Anyway, Snowy, what's going on?
I think Snowy's very frustrated with us tonight because...
No, I'm just going to let you guys get your shit out now. Okay.
That's a good plan.
Because what people don't know, before we started recording this, we had technical issues. Well, Corrine had technical issues. And then we were all over the place, and we were, like, singing and doing all sorts of stupid shit. And the whole time, Snowy's there silent.
And I fully intend to continue all the stupid shit.
and I could feel the daggers from here.
Oh, no. See, I just... Just go ahead. Just, you know, because I don't know. I guess I just kind of reverted the paternal thing kind of kicked in, and it's like, okay, let the kids get the shit out now and all that. Because I think I've been a father the longest out of all of us. So,
well, I love it when you call me Big Papa.
Oh, okay, that's never happened, and it never will.
Throw your hands in the air like you're a true player. No,
wrong podcast.
Oh, yeah. Right. So that's when we do radioactive hip hop.
We'll let you handle that once, Aaron.
I'm all about it.
You can do that
because
with
5-0 said freeze, and I got numb. Can I tell them that I never really had a gun? It's just the wax of the Terminator X bun.
Good job.
Oh, come on, Anthrax, cover that one.
I know exactly what that is.
Bring the noise.
Turn it up.
Oh, I thought it was bring the noise.
It was.
Yeah, but so when you say bring the noise, say turn it up, bring the noise.
But then you say turn it up.
So again. Can I talk about dick pics?
Yes, talk
I got
about
one bullet
dick pics.
Left. Right. Jesus
talk
Christ.
Talk about dick pics. So I'm at work today, right? And I have a coworker who's like a sister to me. And she calls me over. She's like, here, you get to see what my husband sent me. And she's covering up part of her phone.
Oh.
And I just see the first message. And it says, I'm sending you a dick pic. And I'm like, I'm not sure I want to see the rest of this, right? She removes her hand. It's a picture of Robin. Dick Grayson.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh.
I was in tears. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to tell you guys because this is the right audience, right? We're all comic fans.
Yes.
So, yeah, so that's my dick pic story. All right, we can commence with the rest of the night.
Real controversial, that one. Yeah, that's...
Oh,
that's like
sorry,
a dad joke.
Sorry.
That's like a dad joke.
So what, you want a real dad joke? Have any of you ever been camping?
Nope.
Oh, yeah?
So have you ever run in a campground?
No.
What do you mean, run in a campground?
Have you ever run through the campground?
Like sober, so like naked and drunk,
so
yeah.
In general, there's tents up. You're running in a campground.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Have you ever run at a campground?
No.
Well, that makes sense because I've only ever been able to ran because it's past tense.
Okay, Rock, how is everything going with you?
Wow.
I'm doing fantastic.
It sounds like it.
All right.
I thought, okay, wait. Can we just quickly analyze this joke? Because I really thought, for some strange reason, when you said tents and Snowy said running naked, I thought maybe pitching a tent in the campground and then about running in the campground. So maybe running, like pitching tents. Somehow I made it sexual in my head. I don't know. It worked out.
Would you like to hear the sexual version?
Yeah.
So have you ever had sex while camping?
No, I've never been camping.
Well, it's fucking intense.
That one's better.
That I get. That one I get.
But it's much better.
Oh, I like them both.
Yes. Been there, done that.
So how about we go to the metal fix now?
Ooh,
yeah, well, we've got some great stuff.
Please.
We lead busy metal lives. Find out what we've been up to in our metal fix.
Someone talk, please, about right. Metal.
Hey, I got a metal fix.
I'm not interested in your tents. I don't want to hear any rap lyrics. I don't want any fucking dick pics. Just what's been going
gotta
on
get away.
With you?
I just got to tell
away.
You. I'm a cross between a teepee and a wigwam because I'm too tense. Anyway. Anyway. Here's my metal fix.
Oh, all right, Molly Ringwald.
I'm sorry.
The ironic thing about this is probably I'm the only one drinking. I'm sucking back on a Lemmy here, and I'm.
What's funny is I purposely am just drinking water tonight. That is pretty good. So, anybody here read Vegan Health and Fitness magazine?
No, but I think I know where you're going.
Oh, is there a vegan black metal chef in there?
Well, no. Doyle and Alyssa White Glues are on the cover of Vegan Health and Fitness for September 2017.
Okay, that's not what I was thinking, but wait, okay.
What were you thinking?
Some vegan white website tapped John Joseph from the Cro-Mags and Blood Clot, a recent Radioactive Metal alum, for he was a new spokesman for Lululemon, I believe, which is a fitness and workout clothing line.
Okay. That makes sense.
And that's, yeah, it makes total sense because when I caught up with Mr. Joseph backstage the last time Cro-Mags came through town, the guy was doing chin-ups off the roof, man. Like, oh, it's like, fuck, yeah. Man, this guy's intense.
I forgot he was a vegan. He wrote that book, Meat is for Pussies.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So that's part of my metal fix because I'm actually trying to find a copy of this because I'm like, wow, because I have a buddy at work who's vegan. And we always talk about it. And I bought a vegan cookbook and I keep it next to my barbecue Bible.
Oh,
I'm conflicted. What can I say? So have you guys heard about the Master of Puppets box set reissue?
Like, yes.
I haven't had a chance to talk about this on the show.
No.
This is the one I've been waiting for. So if you guys remember, man, was it Record Store Day 2 years ago now, Rock?
Yes.
that that they released the other box sets. I picked up the Ride the Lightning box set, and I've been waiting for Master of Puppets. And I believe Master of Puppets is coming out in November.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
So all the stuff that's in there, I'm super excited. Like every time I look through the listing, I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that was in there. Just between songs and photos, I'm just like, man, I am really, really stoked for this.
Have they said what the suggested the retail price will be?
I'm not sure, but I'm going to contact my my local record shop here, Monster Music, because those guys really took care of me with the last one. I'm going to be like, hey, so, you doing pre-order? What are we doing here?
Yeah.
I'm hoping I can pick it up for like around 150, because that's what they did last time. Whoa. But who knows?
Yeah, because I think, they're about 150. Yeah. They're massive. Yeah,
I'll be tickled if I can get it for 150.
They have Kill 'Em All and Ride the Lightning at Park Avenue CDs, and you should just read on the back what's in there. And man, things are massive.
Oh yeah, it's a collection.
Yep.
That's like $150.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shit! For that much, Lars better fucking hand deliver it to my living room. Jesus Christ.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's a lot of money. I don't know. I don't buy box sets.
For this particular album, this was really like Master Puppets was the metal album that really, really got me into heavier stuff. And I mean, I cannot even tell you guys how many times I've listened to it, how many times I wore out cassettes and had to make new cassettes from the album. I've learned every riff. I mean, this album, between this album and the article on guitar for the Practicing Musician, it was in 86, is basically where I learned to play guitar, like sitting down and mimicking those sounds in the palm mutes and just like, wow, how do they do this? How the hell do they play this Master of Puppets riff? Just, and then, I mean, Orion, like just that bass part in the middle of Orion.
Love it.
Yeah, like this is the album. This is the one I've been waiting for because I love it. So that's my number six.
Well, for me, it was the same thing, basically, because around 86, that's when I really got serious about playing music. And I started out on drums, and, I was trying to play all those songs, and I couldn't. So then I threw the drums away. And then I tried playing guitar, and I always had a guitar, and I would learn the riffs, and then I would transpose them to bass and try and, play all this stuff on bass. And that's where I learned my chop. That and Iron Maiden Power Slave.
Oh yeah. Yep.
That's where my chops, came and just playing those songs over and over. I knew every note of the Master of Puppets, on the bass for. I had the bass tabs also. I had that to help me. So yeah. I totally mirror your sentiments on this one.
All right.
But I'm not paying $150 for it.
Oh, no.
I think I will. I haven't talked myself 100% into it yet, but this is the one I've been waiting for. And there's so much. I mean, to all our listeners, check it out online. There's so much stuff in there. So much. Yep. But anyway, that's my metal fix.
No.
What else we got today?
Well, sorry. Speaking of early Metallica and all that, have any of you guys checked out the Punisher trailer for the new Netflix series, Punisher trailer?
There's a Metallica song, right?
Oh, my God. The song One?
Yes.
Never. It has not sounded that good since Injustice first came out. Since Injustice first came out. Oh my God. Just the way they use that song within that trailer. It's just chills. Like, cool. Oh my God. Just right up and down my spine. It was absolutely amazing. And it works so well with the narrative of what the Punisher is all about and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it works so well. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
When you guys get a chance, just, the Netflix Punisher trailer, fantastic stuff. Holy shit. What else you got? Who else got what?
Corinne, do you have anything?
Yeah. So, have you guys ever watched Rick and Morty?
Nope.
No, I hear that name a lot. And it's like, what the fuck is a Rick and Morty?
I tried and I can't.
You can't because it's way above your head. No, I'm just kidding, Rock.
it just grates. That in South Park, it just grates my nerves.
Oh, see, I like South Park.
It's very entertaining. And once you start getting into it, you'll love it. But my my friend, we all know, Jason Sukoff, did
No, go ahead.
What?
I'm getting excited because I know what you're going to talk about.
Yeah. So Jason Sukoff, a great mutual friend of mine and who has done amazing albums with great bands, did the credits for their season three. I think it's episode four or five. It was last Sunday. So we are, what, the 22nd of September?
Mm-hmm. Right now, yeah, as we speak, yes.
It aired on the 17th of September, so that this previous episode. But he did the credits for Rick and Morty, which is a huge fucking deal.
Yeah, metal version.
Yeah, metal version of Rick and Morty, and it has gotten some amazing claims. And okay. I haven't gotten a chance to hear it yet because I've been so busy with school, but it's being posted and I wanted to actually see the show before I listened to it, but I have to give them a huge congratulations to getting that deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously it probably has something to do with the episode, whatever happened in the episode before. So, but, what was I going to say? Crap. Totally lost my train of thought. Go ahead. Keep talking.
Oh, okay. And as just my metal fix, I've been listening to a heck of a lot more death metal just because I purchased new headphones that allow me to actually enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So there's a huge difference, guys, in the headphones.
Oh, yes.
I don't have to tell I don't have to tell the majority of you of this, but most of you know. And I just found out now that I have Dolby digital sound on my computer and everything is more enhanced, so I will be continuing to listen to more Bloodbath, some more Cannibal Corpse, some more Aborted, some more Dying Fetus, some more Necrophagist, which actually I really got into. Necrophagist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those headphones that you got, because I have the exact same pair. We were just talking off air, you know. I have the exact same pair that I use at work. And for me, I mean, I love them because it's all about there's a lot of bottom end to them. And because of my tinnitus, I can't use earbuds because it just makes it worse. So I need to have a lot of bottom end. And I love those headphones at work. And they're noise canceling too. So I can't hear. Yeah, and because I sit near the break room at my office, so when there's people that are in there for lunch and stuff, it gets kind of loud, and I don't hear a goddamn thing, and I love it.
Yeah, I love these headphones, and it has just made the whole metal experience that much better. And for something that I wasn't even expecting it to be as good as it is, but when I started listening to when I put the death metal on and I was really listening to it, I'm like, holy shit, I can hear everything. You can actually hear the vocals. And that's saying, like, those who have a good ear can hear them anyways, but they're so clear that you could actually hear the vocals.
Oh yeah, it opens up a whole new horizons. You know, you hear sounds that you didn't know were there, and yeah, it's really, they're really good. They're awesome.
They're amazing.
And they're Sony XB something, XB 950, I think you said.
Yeah, Sony XB905. I don't know. They have extra bass on them, and that kicks it up a notch. Yeah,
that's what the XB is for, extra bass.
They are the best.
Yeah, and as far as myself, real quick, I've been listening to Talk Is Jericho while I'm at work. I mean, I've had a 55-hour week last week, and this week is shaping up to be about the same. So I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, and one that stood out for me was Talk Is Jericho, and you had Duff McKagan on. Duff McKagan. Well, the thing is, with Guns N' Roses, since they started this current tour, they're on a press gag order. Nobody's allowed to talk to press. But Duff McKagan kind of went behind everybody's backs and went and talked to Jericho. But it wasn't about the tour or about, it was just about, you know, Duff and what he's up to and stuff like that. But it was really interesting because he talked a lot about the old days when they started out and stuff. It's a really great interview. If you're a fan of Guns N' Roses or if you just like behind the scenes stuff, it's a great interview to listen to. And the other things I've been listening to, the new Paradise Lost.
Mm-hmm.
I know, Aaron, you mentioned it, that you were digging it.
That was the Doom record I was listening to.
Yeah, they call it goth, but yeah, it's more doom. To me, it's more like doom. The band said, oh, I've never heard of them. Well, they've been around since the early 90s.
Well, but so I also really didn't get into any doom until we started redoing the theme. And it's funny, since we went through that, and I will still always joke about you making me play half the pace of a glacier, but I really appreciate the doomy stuff now, like more than I ever have. And I'm listening to it with a whole new ear. So when that, and I totally forgot the name of the band already.
Paradise Lost.
Thank you, those guys.
Medusa, when that came on, the album.
Yeah, like when I put that on, I'm like, damn, I love this.
Yeah. And speaking of which, Kareen, if you want to really test out your headphones, listen to some Crowbar.
Oh man, that would be great.
You're kind of, oh my god, you gotta love your fucking headphones.
Go ahead,
finish your thought.
Oh, okay. No, I was gonna say, I wanted to say that I've been listening to a band that actually popped up on Pandora that I discovered, and Snowy's like, oh, we've had them on before. They're the blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he was doing no, it wasn't blah, blah. Bloodbath.
Bloodbath. Yes, they're awesome. And you those headphones, yes, they do enhance everything that's good, but they do enhance everything that's bad too. So
you hear everything.
When you get to some really shitty stuff, you're going to be like, holy shit, this is bad. Because you're really going to hear it. So that, just be forewarned, you know. And the last thing I wanted to mention, the new Cradle of Filth, I've listened to a couple of tracks here and there, and it's sounding good. So I think they're keeping on with the trajectory that they had, and I think it's going to be a good album. So like I said, I only listened to a couple of tracks so far. So
Cradle of Filth has always been a nice headphones type band.
Yes,
for sure.
Very atmospheric and stuff. Yes.
And you know, you don't stop. There's just certain things that you picked up as a kid that you don't stop doing as an adult. You hated liver and spinach as a kid and all that, so you won't fucking eat it as an adult. Okay, remember when we were kids as well? What was the best way to listen to music? When the lights were off and you had your headphones on and you're lying in bed, because all your other senses are shut out. Right?
Yep.
Well, I still kind of do that when I'm at work and, you know, it's on my lunch break and I'm sitting in the lunchroom by myself. I'll put my cap down over my eyes and I'm listening in my headphones. Everyone thinks I'm sleeping. You know, someone go wake Snowy up and all that, because he's sleeping in the lunchroom. Oh, no.
Because I heard that you when you listen to music, you snore, so. the metal comes out of you by snoring.
Oh, okay. Oh,
this is good.
Didn't.
I'm just kidding.
You know, can I say something to that effect?
Sure.
So I'll give you a quick thing. So about two nights ago, Mr. Kareen was talking in his sleep, and instead of talking in his sleep, he was talking to me in his native language, which is Czech and Slovak. And I woke up and I was like, "What the hell are you talking about?" And then he told me he was asking me about peanuts, and then he started talking to me in Slovak, and I'm like, "What?" I was like, "What?"
Yeah.
And I'm like. And so I tried to mess with him. I was like, do you love me? And he goes, ugh. And I said, do you love me? And he goes, ugh. And then I said, I'll take that as a no, jokingly. And he goes, uh-huh. I was like, oh, okay. And then I just went back to sleep. But I thought it was funny. He had no idea he said that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done that to my wife. Speaking in French, you know, while I was sleeping, and she had no idea what I was saying.
Yeah, no, I don't know any goofy languages like that. Like I've had conversations with Mrs. White, like when we're both asleep.
Mm-hmm.
At least I was asleep. I assume she was as well. But we've actually you know, I wake up the next day and it's like, do you remember when we were talking about this? And she's like, yeah.
Okay,
yeah. All right. Well, yeah, I guess. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. It shows kind of you're comfortable around one another, I guess. I don't know.
Or it's a mental problem.
Oh, yeah. You could be just knucking futs. Who knows?
Exactly. Who knows? So what you got, that was man? Nice. What about you, Snowy?
What do I got? Well, shit. I actually didn't think I was going to have a whole hell of a lot, but I think we're kind of looking at the time here because we've got a very interesting episode coming up. But just quickly, I got a couple new kick-ass records across my desk. I don't know, a couple months ago, we had Necrot's Lucio Indrio on.
Something
and
like that.
Yeah. He has a couple other bands, and his other band, Acephalix, their new record, Desecration, on 20 Bucks Spin Records, came across my desk, and it's more brutal death, kind of with a doomy twinge to it as well, a little bit of crust thrown in there. Really, really cool. I was really digging that, giving that a spin as well. New York, they're part of the hardcore scene, the whole New York hardcore scene, but they definitely have a strong metallic crossover sound as well. And that's All Out War's new record, Give Us Extinction, as well. I gave that a spin. And right now, as we speak, in Reading, Pennsylvania, the East Coast Tsunami Music Fest is going on with them and H2O and Madball and Wisdom in Chains and Integrity and just like the who's who of hardcore is all under one roof this weekend. Oh, fucking amazing. Yeah, oh my God, if there was ever going to be a festival this year, I really would want to have gotten to. Definitely would have been that. So I'm really digging those records as well. I'm eagerly anticipating next month the new Hemorrhage record, We Are the Gore, is going to be dropping, and already they've got a couple singles / videos making the rounds, and one of them is just them cranking it out in the studio, transporting cadavers, really digging that. And, of course, they have another video, the title track, We Are the Gore, which is just a low-budget splatter horror movie right up my alley. When you get a chance, go and check those tracks out as well. Just quickly, next month as well, the new All Pigs Must Die record is coming out too, and some of the singles have made their way out on the YouTubes as well. Just cranking that stuff. Actually, I didn't do too bad after all this time around. Right on. I do want to quickly drop an Acephalix track from the Desecration record. This is Suffer. Suffer. Now, Radioactive Metal, of course, is, we're predominantly an interview show. But lately, there's kind of been like a shit ton of stuff going on in the metal world, and some of it's not so good. So I thought maybe it might be a good idea if we're to kind of forego the creature feature idea, and maybe the four of us kind of sit down together, kind of go over the who's, the whys, the wherefores, but more importantly, what we're thinking about what's going on in our little, what's going on in our little gray matter, shall we say, about some of this kind of fucked up stuff that's going on. Okay.
I'm really glad we're talking about this.
It's not just any one particular thing, which I'm sure we're kind of going to get into a few details. But first and foremost, what comes to mind, and I'm sure everyone knows what we're talking about. We're talking about the situation with Decapitated, the Spokane incident. Mr. Lambesis has made an announcement where he's going to be making his comeback and all that. It's just like, with all of this going on, okay, it makes me wonder, like, where do you draw the line? You know what I mean? Like, is there what is that point where we say, okay, I don't, and maybe there is none of that point, but what is that point where it makes you say, I really don't want to, you know, I don't want to support this guy. I don't want this person's music. I certainly don't want it on my radio show and all that. Like, where do you guys draw the line? Is there any, what's that one thing perhaps just to start it off where you say, that's it?
Before we go too far, you know, you're being kind of vague here, because, you know, some of our listeners may not have heard of any of this stuff. Some people live under a rock. So just to reiterate, we'll give examples like, okay, Decapitated, the situation with that. Allegedly, they gang raped a woman in their tour bus bathroom. Allegedly.
I thought it was two women.
So no, it was one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Tim Lambesis, well, he was tried and convicted for hiring a hitman to kill his wife. So
ex-wife.
Yeah. So we're talking about situations like that. You know, to be a little bit more specific. Well, I guess we will eventually talk about these situations specifically. But I just wanted to, you know, because you were being kind of vague, so I just wanted to.
Because that's what I first, the reason behind that was, you know, the bigger picture. And that's like, is something like this going to make you say, I'm not a fan of this band anymore? Like, can you separate the art from the artist?
Who wants to go first?
Yeah, anyone.
All right, I'll go first.
Go for it.
I'll do it. Okay. So how I'm viewing it, and this is just my personal opinion, we cannot judge the fact that the situation happened. We know it happened, but we don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right now, it's a bunch of he said, she said, and I don't want to damn the girl, and I don't want to damn the band. So there was confirmation from one guy who said that, yes, sex did happen on the tour bus. I wasn't part of it. This is what he states. And he allegedly allowed the police to take his DNA sample. However, the other two in question denied that they ever saw the woman, and they refused to take a DNA test. My thing is, from what I understand from one of the articles, I don't know how true it is, but somebody got pulled over for drinking and driving. Mm-hmm. And she had called her friend and told her friend about what happened. But here's where it doesn't make sense. Did she come with her friend to the party? Did she come with her friend to the concert together or alone?
The woman that got pulled over for drunk driving was with the victim, the alleged victim, on the tour bus after a show. But she left because she needed to go to leave. And then she got pulled over for, you know, swerving and stuff. And while she was talking with the police officer, her friend called and said, this is what happened. So that's how it got discovered, I guess.
But why would her friend leave her on the bus? How would she have gotten home?
Well, yeah.
See, that's it doesn't make any sense, because why would your friend, how would you get home? First off,
some people Uber, don't care about the other people.
But also, there was something skewed with that story. And I'm not saying that the girl's wrong, and I'm not saying the band's wrong, because I don't know. But I thought the girl that got raped was the one that called her friend, because the girl that got raped got pulled over for DUI. But
No, it was the opposite.
No, it's the other way around. The thing that kind of gnawed about me about that is, if like the non-victim, for the lack of a better term, okay, she said, okay, there's something weird going on. I'm getting an uneasy feeling about these guys. You know, right. I want to leave. So she left. That this is what she's saying, but you know, you're getting this creepy vibe about them, like something major is going to go down, but you're leaving your friend behind. See, that's where it doesn't kind of jive to me. It sounds like someone left, and you know, okay, it's okay if I leave because she's, for the lack of a better term, in good hands.
Well, and my,
you know what I mean?
From what I gathered from the article, the girl who was gang, and they say gang raped. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened, but you're on a tour bus, and the tour bus, there's a bunch of partying and drinking and drugs. But I don't. Have you guys ever been on a tour bus? I think Rock, you have, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, I've been on many tour buses.
Yeah, several times.
So you have to understand that those bathrooms are really small.
Yes. Uh huh.
And you can't tell me that there, if this allegedly happened, there had to have been more witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. There's no way. I don't think two people can fit in a tour bus bathroom.
It would be extremely tight.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one. But I'm wondering what else is going to come out about this. And I mean, to Snow, to your point about it doesn't add up with the friend leaving. What we really don't know here is the full state of anybody, right? So like the friend, for all we know, she could have been high out of her mind on hallucinogenics or something else that made her crazy paranoid. And that's why she just got up and left, you know,
very well have been that.
If you're high out of your mind, you're not thinking about anything, you know, like I've had friends where I've had to go chase them down when they've been, you know, enjoying recreational pharmaceuticals. And it's like, whoa, come on back. You know, you're not 100% right here. Like we gotta focus. But I mean, because you start to think things, and I mean, you know, and again, I'm not saying one way or another, I'm not certainly not condoning any of the actions, but I feel that it's possible that if, you know, the girls weren't fully in their right mind, and I'm sure, you know, so I don't want to make that accusation, but if the band wasn't, we don't know what happened. And so things may have been worse. This person may have just gotten up and was able to leave because they were distracted. You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
no, sorry.
No, I was just gonna say. Well, with all this being said, we kind of know what the situation is, but really the question is for this topic is, were you a fan of Decapitated before? And if you were, is this going to deter you from listening to them again? Or if you're not a fan, will this make you listen to them?
So I'm not a fan, and this will deter me from listening to them.
I agree. Me too.
Right. You know, and I mean, and unless it would come out that everything's kosher, cleared, but even just, man,
there's still that doubt.
Yeah. And then like, so let's put this into play. So I'm a big fan of Austrian Death Machine, Tim Lambesis's side project.
Mm-hmm.
When the news came out about, you know, what had happened and then it went to conviction, you know, about hiring a hitman because, you know, when he started working out like that is when he started doing the Arnold stuff. I'm like, oh man, so this is like total brutal. That first Austrian Death Machine record is just phenomenal. Like, I love every bit of it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, I can't wait for another one. And then once this came out, I'm like, I don't enjoy the album as much as I used to. Like, I don't put it on like I used to. Like, I every now and then I'll be like, man, I gotta listen to this track. But then, like, I'll start to think about the situation and I feel kind of dirty or creepy and I'm like, I gotta turn it off.
Well, first and foremost, the Austrian Death Machine, I don't think, and this is kind of off topic, but that project doesn't have legs. Okay, that's kind of a, you know,
it's a joke.
It's good for now, but 20 years from now, we're not going to be going, oh man, remember Austrian Death Machine? Man, that was awesome. We might be saying, you know, oh, before all the shit with Lambesis went down, As I Lie Dying, they were fucking awesome. We're not going to be saying that about Austrian Death Machine, I don't believe.
Well, so just to that point real quick, one, I do just love that album, but the same thing was told to me by the guy that worked at the music store about Ozzy Osbourne. Nobody's going to care about Crazy Train in 20 years. And so, you know, we'll know in 20 years. You know, we'll put this one in a time capsule, dig it up, okay. See how we feel.
Fair enough. We'll have
the point is, yeah. like I struggle with his art, you know, like I'm just like, because I, you know, I don't necessarily want to support that, you know. And I've had a problem with like I love Rage Against the Machine. I think Tom Morello is one of the most brilliant guitarists of our time. Mm-hmm. And there are times where I struggle with the band's politics. Mm-hmm. And so I have struggled to buy an album because I'm like, I don't know where this money's going, you know. What am I supporting if I buy this, you know?
Which brings me to something that I wanted to bring up. So, yeah. Okay, so there's this band that I discovered maybe 6-7 years ago, and they don't exist anymore. They only did one album. And Snowy, you and I, we've talked about this before, a band called Doom band called The Plague of Gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Now,
I knew you were going there.
I discovered this band, okay. I found the album when one of my trips to Canada. I found a used copy. I bought it. Now, after I had been listening to it for a few weeks and I started doing research on the bands, like, oh, I want to see if they have other albums and all that, I found that the main man in the band, the singer, guitarist, had been convicted for child molestation.
Ooh.
In England. He's English. Mm-hmm. So right there, I was like, oh, fuck. Yeah. But then I'm like, Jesus Christ, but this is so good. It's because it's a really good album. I mean, it's amazing. And I'm like, oh, so then I'm like, you start to try to qualify your purchase. You know? So I was like, mm-hmm. Okay, so I bought this. Okay, when you buy an album that's brand new, okay, part of the money goes to the who you bought it from, you know, the retailer.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the money goes to the record label and the distributor, and then the rest goes to the band. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's when you buy a brand new album. When you buy a used album, the money only goes to the retailer because, you know, the chain is broken, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, because the retailer probably bought it from somebody who brought it in for a trade or whatever, and so the money stays mm-hmm. with the retailer. So that's how I qualified and quantified my purchase. Like, okay, so I know my money didn't go to a child molester, you know. So but I still enjoy it. I still, you know, I try not to think about it when I listen to. I probably would listen to it more if it wasn't for that, because I, like I said, I mm-hmm. actually love it. It's been a while since I listened to it, but now that we're talking about it, now I want to listen to it. Yeah. So, but you know, so that's one of my questions for you guys. If let's say you get into a band and you find out after the fact, after like this was all after the fact, this guy had already been in jail for a few years when I discovered this, and you know, would that prevent you from enjoying something if you discover after the fact that the one somebody's in jail for something really bad?
Yeah,
something like that. As a father, you know, especially, yes. And I, you know, it's not any worse, but I have a little girl. You mm-hmm. know, it's not so little anymore, but. So that magnifies shit for me. you know, to answer your question, that's a deal breaker for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's something I want to talk about. What would be some deal breakers, and doing something like that or getting involved with, you know, an artist being busted with child pornography and all that, like all of that shit, just no, that's a deal breaker for me. Now, this is also a band that I didn't really know existed.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, they were very underground.
So that was an easy choice for me to say, well, you know what? There's 800 million other bands in this world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to focus on a band that now has this stigma to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And see, and the thing is that, you know, the Plague of Gentlemen, when they broke up, you know, they broke up because that guy went to jail. But then the remaining members got together and found a new singer, a female singer, and they rebranded as Serpent Cult. And then Serpent Cult, after that, broke up and then reformed with a few members with the guitars from Cathedral and became Death Penalty, you know?
Oh, okay.
And in a way, it's like... they're all a little tainted, except for Death Penalty. To me, Serpent Cult was so close to the Plague of Gentlemen because yeah. those guys knew that guy. Now they're saying that they didn't know about what he was doing, you know.
Right, right. That was going to be one of my points. When you think, well, the singer's a scumbag, there might be 3, 4, 5 other guys in this band creating this music that you love so much that are guiltless here.
Yeah, like, exactly.
They have, you know, so like, do you condemn all for the actions of one? Like that's
another thing. There was another thing that was going through my mind. Well, the other guys are okay. They, you know, as far as I know, they, you know, they didn't know about this. So that's another reason why I still enjoy it, but you know, in moderation, you know. So I don't know about you, Corinne and Aaron, you know, what you think about something like that. But.
Yeah, is that a deal breaker for you, guys?
Well, so for me, it kind of is, and I'll take it a step further. Snowy, I'm not sure how familiar you'd be with this, and Rock, I know you don't follow sports much, but is anybody aware of the Penn State incident that happened?
Yes, Jerry Sandusky.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep,
right?
Yep.
So Coach Paterno was he was an institution in Pennsylvania, Penn State for so long. I mean, you know, that football team, they had just a great history, great record. And I mean, just about everybody was punished for that. And people were like, well, you can't punish the players. They didn't really know,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, but like the whole team still has this tainted view around them.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, we're getting to the point now where people are starting to kind of come around because it's, you know, time is passing. But I mean, that for the first few years, nobody really wanted to hear about Penn State. And I mean, that's a team that I've gone to see play, you know, like I've been to the Joe Pa games, you know, like, it really just, when something like that just really changes your opinion. I mean, like, let's, you know, take it out of the metal world again, but with Michael Jackson. You know, there was never anything for sure one way or another. And when he passed, the best thing about Michael's passing was the fact that people stopped talking about all the controversy and just started talking about his music again. Mm-hmm. So people could get past all that, everything that happened. And they just like, wow, he was a great musician. You know?
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Unless it happened, unless it's true. And then
exactly.
It's now buried under the carpet and the fans are going, oh, good. You know, oh, I don't have to think about that. I can shove my head back up my ass and not think that my hero was a child molester. Well, yeah. I'm sorry. I can't do that.
Well, but we'll never know at this point. You know?
I know. I know.
And I think like when it comes to these other bands, I mean, you know, if, and I'm going to sound like an asshole for saying this, but if Tim Libesis was to die suddenly in a car crash or something like that, and please, I do not wish that upon anybody. I don't want to see that. I might have an easier time listening to, you know, As I Lay Dying, pun not intended, and Austrian Death Machine. You know,
oh, okay.
just because it would remove, I don't know if I'm communicating this right, but it would remove the chance that it's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know.
Okay. Now I want to throw something at Corrine here.
Uh-huh.
So Corrine, okay, you are probably the biggest Pantera fan I've ever met. Okay.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, you're a huge Pantera fan. So let's say, this is a hypothetical. Let's say one day you find out that Vinnie Paul was, maybe not molesting children, but, you know.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I'll bring that shit up.
Did something really bad. And you are like a hardcore, you know, Pantera fan. Would that taint your judgment on the band?
Oh, fuck yeah, it would.
Yeah, you would stop cold turkey?
Yeah, because, okay, so here's the thing. I believe that everybody is innocent until proven guilty. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's just something that I believe in. For a while, you know, you guys know that I wanted to study law, but got sidetracked to become a scientist. And one thing that I really learned is that you have to know that there's two sides to every single story, and there's no amount of truth that we're ever going to know until somebody goes to court. Yeah. And the problem with the articles that we're reading, they're very biased.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when reading the Metal Sucks, I believe it was Metal Sucks.
Well, that was your first mistake.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that's the kind of news sources that we're dealing with here, and this is why everything is so skewed. But you know, take Metal Sucks for an instance. I was reading the article, and it said that out of the corner of her eye, she noticed. Now, logically, we all know what looking out of the corner of your eye. It's very difficult to see full figured objects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's also, you know, that line that says, hey, maybe I consented to having sex with this guy. Or maybe I consented, you know, while I was drunk, but I don't remember. And, you know, maybe the friend, maybe she didn't tell the friend she got raped per se, but she had sex. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much to it. And those guys should have known better. If this in fact did happen, they really, really should have known better. First off, they're in America.
Mm-hmm.
They're in America, and you don't want to go to the prison here in America. Number two, just take for an example of what happened with Randy Blythe.
Mm. Oh yeah, and he didn't do anything.
Right. So, but the whole entire media outlets and everybody in the Czech Republic was like, oh my God, this America came over here and killed one of his fans. And that didn't happen. But you see how things get so skewed that it really warps people's minds. So people are automatically judging before they get the full story. So that's why for me, it's so hard to determine if I'm going to be interested in them, because I did. Funny thing happened. They popped up on Pandora today, and I listened to them, and they were fucking fantastic.
They are. They're a great band.
But they will never be a band again, in my opinion, because once they get tried, if they get a conviction, even if they're found guilty, they're going to still have stigma.
You mean, oh, yeah. Even if they're found not guilty, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Even if they're found not guilty, they're going to still have that stigma.
Yeah.
And because of that, there's just going to be no way that they're going to be able to take and continue on as a decapitated.
Mm-hmm.
But where it gets kind of fuzzy is that, let's say it did happen, but only two band members or three, or I don't know what the definition of gang rape was according to the article. I know what it is, but was it 1, 2, 3, 4? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to suck for the other band members who did not participate in this is
they can't use decapitated anymore.
Oh, yeah.
They have to start from scratch.
Well, they're guilty by association now.
Or well, not yes. legally, but in the minds of people, right. Yes.
Right. That's what I mean. They're going to be tried as guilty by association, and then they're going to have a huge scarlet letter on them. Mm-hmm. And it's at the point where somebody, I'm not trying to trail off topic here, I'm trying to stick with this whole thing, but it's going to be a point where somebody, one of the band members is going to tell on his brothers if in fact it did happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know. It's never going to be the same thing. How many albums did they come out with? One, two?
Oh, no, they've been around for a while, 20 years.
So you're telling me in the 20 years they're just now being convicted of such a silly thing? Oh, sorry. Don't put that in there.
Well, no, it's all right. You made a mistake.
Yeah. No, but I mean, what?
It could be the...
This didn't come out. This didn't happen 20 years ago. It happened, like, last month.
Yeah.
No, I know, but here you are. You have guys who are old enough to be grandpa.
Well, we don't know if they're all original members, though. That's the thing.
Yeah. And okay. We don't. And who knows? Like, no one really knows for sure. Like, we're all victims of clickbait right now in all the news things. So we don't really know for sure. That's why I'm kind of holding out on how I feel about Decapitated until the whole story comes out. Like, this girl just could have went out and had a great time with a band, with a couple band members, and now she's, well, I have a boyfriend or I have a husband, and now he's going to be pissed at me because I was screwing guys on the tour bus. And I'm not saying that that's what happened. I do not know. I am holding judgment either way until the full story comes out. What I am getting out of this scenario is, let's use the heads on our shoulders, bands and fans. I remember one time Elizabeth, our former co-hostess, Rock, mm-hmm. I told her when she came on to Radioactive Metal, in no way, shape, or form, and I'm going to say this to you now, Corrine, all right? You are never going, as long as you're under the Radioactive Metal banner, are ever getting on a tour bus by yourself.
I've been offered.
And don't do it. Don't do it. And certainly don't let it get back to me that you did. Because I'm gonna be pissed. Because, you know, shit like this has the potential to happen.
Well, let me ask you a question. Snowy, let me ask you a question. You've guys been on multiple tour buses. Has something like that ever been kind of around you in a sense? Have you ever kind of gotten the feeling that something's going to happen?
Or... No, I wasn't worried about Max Cavalera raping me. No,
no, but I know what she means. I know what she means. Like, okay, give you an example. The tour buses I've been on, Anthrax. It was me and Rob Caggiano sitting in the lounge, and there was nobody else. Frank Bello was in the back room, and then he came out at some point. Niall, it was me and Carl Sanders with two of his friends. There was nobody else on the bus. Doro Pesh, that bus was packed because the opening band, Madame Mayhem, was in the bus also, and she had her crew and all that. But you know, we went into her room all the way in the back, and the door was left cracked, and you know, she was in view of the tour manager. She was sitting where the tour manager would see her. He couldn't see me, but he could see her, and we conducted the interview that way.
You know? There's rhyme and reason as to why they did that.
Yeah, yeah. At one point, he even came up because we were talking for a while, and he even came up and said, "Hey, is everything okay in here?" And she's like, yeah, we're just talking about families and stuff. And because even after the interview, we would just start talking about just life, you know. Mm-hmm. So, every tour bus I've been on, I've been on Venom's tour bus, I've been on, you know, and I've never seen anything like that. You know, it's always Flotsam and Jetsam. There was just, you know, it's just if there's more than just me and my interview subject, the other guys are just sitting there on their laptops or on their phones, you know.
Well, yeah, because when we're doing our business, it's pre-show.
Yeah, yeah.
All the quote-unquote interesting stuff happens after the show.
There's that, yes.
Yeah, so it's that's not something that we're privy to seeing, at least not yet. I think out of all of us, though, if anyone has, you know, if there's ever the potential there for any wild shenanigans to go on a bus, it'll happen to me.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
The only shenanigans I was asked if I wanted to partake was on Pathology's RV. And then when I sat down to talk to Dave Astor, he wanted me if I wanted a hit of his bong.
Right.
And that's it. That's as crazy as it ever got for me.
I've been asked to go back on the bus after the show, and I kind of regret not doing it. And I've gone backstage while the liquor was flowing, and I've had bands take me to the bar before the shows and all that. So, yeah, trust me. Don't worry, though. Oh, yeah. Well, see, this is something totally different, Crane, because you're a young, pretty girl.
Yeah.
And the reality beer. Is, yeah.
Beer, but yeah. Hopefully, you don't
but
know.
We didn't do it.
No.
Hopefully, it's not roofied.
Exactly.
See, I don't mean to sound sexist, or I hear your roar, Kareen, but what? I'm a woman, hear me roar. I hear your roar. Okay. Whatever. Okay. In other words, I understand. Okay. Like, if Rock, Aaron, myself, we go on a tour bus by ourselves, I don't have an issue with that. If you do, okay, that's the potential for problems. You know what I mean? Because you are a young
girl. But I can tell you right now, Snowy, having hung out with Kareen many times, and usually Mr. Kareen is there. Not always, but usually he's there. But when he's not, she's very level-headed, and I'm aware of a couple of invitations that she's gotten, and she told me I'm not going there.
Of course. Well, that's exactly what I want to hear.
Yes.
And I'm not saying, you know, don't do this because I think you're going to go and snort coke off the drummer's ass.
Well, I would love to do that.
I don't want you in the position, if it happened, that this young lady in Spokane went through. It's not good.
Yeah.
That's what I've taken out of this whole decapitated situation right now. Like I said, I'm waiting until all the hearsay, all the clickbaiting and all that shit is done, and we're with what we know best to be the cold hard facts.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, we'll go from there.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if I should bring this up because I'm afraid we're going to talk for another half hour, but I'll just bring it up real quick. And if we can limit our talk to maybe five, maybe 10 minutes, the other side of the coin. Okay, we're talking about molestation and sex stuff and all that stuff. But what about the religious side? Varg of Burzum.
I got that on the top of my list.
I knew you did. But, you know, he's accused. I know it was never proven of him murdering. What was his name? Hieronymus?
Yeah. He was found guilty. He went to jail.
No, but it was for burning churches, not for killing somebody.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, no, he went to jail for the murder of Hieronymus as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. So, you know, the burning of the churches in Norway and stuff like that. You know, I didn't know about the murder. God damn, I have the book. I have a book about it. I read a book about it. I don't remember that. Anyway.
Okay, well.
I must have read it real fast. But anyway, and this uh-huh. is something I want to ask Aaron, because I know Aaron has, you know, Aaron is a practicing Christian and stuff. So, you know, what do you think about somebody like Varg who goes and burns churches?
Yeah, well, it's really funny you bring this one up, because so back to the Tim Lambesis. One of the biggest reasons I have such a problem with the Tim Lambesis one is it's his ex-wife that he was trying to have killed. And, you know, As I Lay Dying is essentially a Christian band. He's been a big Christian. They adopted all these children. I'm like,
yep.
That's why Christians get a bad name, you know, and because that's you couldn't get further from being a Christian than to try to have your wife killed. Right.
Yeah. Right.
So on the flip side of this black metal guy burning a church, I have way less of a problem with that.
OK,
I really do, because like, OK, he's a black metal guy. He's because and here's why, because Tim Lambesis trying to have his wife killed. Now, while he's pretending to be something he's not by saying, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, look at all this. Oh, love and caring. And oh, yeah. Oh, but I'm going to kill this bitch. Right. Mm-hmm. So I have a problem with that. But the black metal guy, I fucking hate all you Christians. I'm going to burn your churches down. And then he does it. I respect the fact that, you know, he goes through with what he's going to say. I don't agree with it, but if you've got the wherewithal to be who you are and, you know, and this is who I am, this is what I do. Okay. I don't agree with it, you know, but I have less of a problem with that. As long as nobody got hurt in the church burnings, because if somebody got hurt, then I've got a major problem with it.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, and I think he was doing it when the churches were closed, I think.
Yeah, as long as it's an empty church. I mean, yeah, it's terrible because there's probably some great old churches and some great architecture.
Exactly. It was in Norway. Those churches was like 500 years old, you know?
See, and that pains me there because, like, some amazing history. But at the same time, he's not pretending to be something he's not. Mm-hmm.
So you would that prevent you from listening to his music?
Oh, I wasn't going to listen to it anyway. I don't like. Yeah.
Yeah. No. If I've ever listened to a Burzum song, it was by accident and I didn't know it. I've never been wanting to. I've seen albums. I see, you know, in record stores and they're brand new albums, and I'm like, nope.
It's old Varg that he's, yeah, with everything going on with Decapitated and Lambesis, it's still the Varg situation that inspired me to think of this topic because, as you recall, when we went over this rock, you and myself and Elizabeth on the show, it's like, okay, what are we ever going to do in a situation where, okay, here's this scumbag, he's found guilty, he did it, we know that. Their PR calls us up and says, do you want to talk to Varg? What do you do? Like, we sort of talked about it off the air, and I don't think we went very far. And on the same note as well, though, I remember when I was a part of the Warren Music Record Shop with Elizabeth, and then I continued on when she left, we sold Burzum Records.
I remember that.
And I have to admit, like, it kind of gnawed at me. It's like, you know what? I don't want to sell the scumbags records.
Do you remember ever selling some Burzum albums while you were working?
They have been purchased. I never made any transactions, but okay. I know they were made. People were buying Burzum records.
Just not when you were working.
Yeah. But for all intents and purposes, I sold Burzum records.
Yeah.
I didn't like it, but it wasn't enough for me to tell my friends to pound sand.
You're a fucking asshole. Selling Burzum records to the kids. Oh. Yeah,
that's one of the few records I wouldn't want to sell to kids because, like, what? Look, how old? I was 13 when I discovered Venom. Mm-hmm. Imagine me. Young Snowy, 13 years old. I went into a Sam the Ripoff Man store, okay, and wanted to buy this Venom record. And some pimply faced puke on the other end of the counter said, "Sorry, kid, I can't sell that to you." Dead, stone dead. You know, I would have taken him out in the back. There would have been no pimply faced wimp over that after that. So,
My last trip to Canada, I talked about how I went to the local, you know, independent record shop that I always go to, Music State, and he had a few albums that were 50% off because he was trying to, you know, sell, you know, make more room for stuff, and he had a Burzum album for 50% off, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, I wouldn't take this even if he gave it to me. And I put it right back. Because I saw the 50% off tag. I was like, ooh, what's this? Oh, Burzum, I would take it.
Okay, so I want to run this by, you know, our relatively new co-hosts. Varg is out. I don't think he's doing anything musical, but he's also part of the, I don't know what the fuck it's called, the Nazi scumbag Association of Eastern Europe, whatever the fuck it's called. Okay. Yeah, yeah. He's part of, oh, he's totally racist.
Yeah.
Okay. Would we, and we all have a 25% vote, would we have Varg Vikernes on Radioactive Metal?
I can say no pretty quickly.
Okay.
What about you, Kareen?
What about you?
Okay.
If we were offered to interview him, what would you say? What would you be your vote?
Okay, Rock.
Okay. You don't know? You don't have a yes or a no?
Yeah.
Yes, we interview him. No, we don't.
I would have to say no just because of our reputation.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Yeah.
Yep. And that would be my vote too, because both of reputation and just my beliefs. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not a religious guy. You know, I'm Catholic. You know, I was born and raised Catholic. I haven't been to church in years, but you know, I still believe. You know, but just out of my convictions, I wouldn't be able to do it.
It would. You know, it's not. I'm agnostic, so that kind of doesn't bother me. What bothers me is the fact that this motherfucker is racist.
Yeah, that's especially, you know, in the Trump era as well. Like, it's getting pretty ugly. And guys like Varg is just, they're just going to add fuel to the fire.
I think. So it's just hard because typically with those interviews, you know, you want to negate the fact that he's racist. Just forget about it. If you interviewed him, all the people that know him, the labels that are associated, even if you wanted just to ask him basic questions about his music, there's a good guarantee that somebody's going to listen, slam us with, Radioactive Metal likes to interview racists.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing, too. Yeah.
And this guy, who probably doesn't get a hell of a lot of promotions as it is, would probably blast us with saying, oh, well, thanks for the interview, guys, and blah, blah, blah. Ain't no way in hell I want to be associated with that.
Not at all. Well, okay.
I'm with you. I can't support that line of thinking in any stretch. You know, I mean, to Sonny's point about just the things that have been going on in this country with Charlottesville, Virginia, with the neo-Nazi marches, just so it boggles my mind that, you know, World War II happened. The Berlin Wall happens, and people are still thinking, like, you know what? Maybe that wall's a good idea, or yeah, we need to keep people divided. So it hasn't worked yet, and I boggles my mind that we'll keep doing these things. I cannot condone or do anything that would keep that sort of thinking alive. You know, unless if we could stage something where, you know, it was almost like, who's the guy who was famous for always walking out of interviews? Was it Axl Rose? Any one of those fucking divas.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but like where we could really grill him to the point where he hangs up the phone on us. Like that interview, that I would play, you know? Mm. But I mean, like, I can't condone any of those actions. You know, it goes against every fiber of my being.
Yeah. You know? Now, a few years ago, Snowy, you interviewed a band who got some controversy a few years later. And do you know where I'm going with this?
No.
Inquisition?
Rob. Oh, yes, yes.
We interviewed Inquisition, you know, that duo, and then wasn't there like a racist thing that popped up a few years after?
There was accusations from – there was baseless accusations that – Dagon was a racist and all that, but
was it baseless?
I don't know, and I don't see any. And I met the guy a couple times, and I hung out with him, you know. And I've hung out with people, I wouldn't call them racist. I wouldn't call them homophobic, but they throw some of the words around. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, so, like, I didn't see any of that from Dagon for all the time that I spent with him. I didn't see anything that he would be considered racist or homophobic or absolutely anything. And the guy's from Chile. You know, like that's
the thing. Does that have anything to do with anything?
When you're a visible minority like that, I don't know how visible that is, but there's not too many neo-Nazis that like people from South America. They don't.
But here's my take on it. Okay, anybody's allowed to be proud of who they are, where they came from. You know, they should accept their culture how it is, but it's the intolerance of other cultures that makes people racist. And
yeah,
like you could, there's nothing wrong with being proud of being white or your heritage. You could be white English. No, listen.
Okay, English, yes. Okay, you're right. Sorry, yes.
I'm going somewhere with this.
Sorry.
You could be of any color, of any creed, of any context you want to call yourself. But have the decency to not be intolerant. And you don't have to like people. Nobody's forcing you to like anybody. But to be intolerant is where the problem lies.
Live and let live.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we all bleed red, and I don't care what race, color, creed she is. If she's hot, she's hot.
But it's just weird because, and you guys don't know this because not many of you are into history, but there's a subculture in where the hell? I think it's in Bangladesh. There's actually Bangladeshians, and I will take and I will look it up and give you guys the correct wording for it. But there's neo-Nazis who are of who we call minorities, but there's actual literal neo-Nazis in a country that has nothing to do with neo-Nazis, but they're there.
Yeah. See, that doesn't make any sense at all.
And just like that, there's Nazis in South America, Snowy. I mean, I just watched a documentary last summer about it.
Yeah, and they're it's very interesting because they adopt the ideology of Hitler because they want to keep their race together. Like they could tolerate how they say in this country specifically, they can tolerate everybody else, but they just want to keep their heritage and their bloodline pure, but they're taller. It's weird. It's very, very odd. I know you guys are like listening to me like, what the fuck am I talking about? But I'm telling you, it's fucking real.
I think I know what you're saying.
I'm going to look it up on Google.
I've got a raised eyebrow.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's fucking real. Fucking real.
Okay.
Basically what you're saying is you can be like a non-Caucasian and be racist.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, anybody can.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree with that. Like, I've met more than one visible minority that just there's just other races, even non-Caucasian races that they just don't like. And I'm like, okay, you're just an asshole. Get away from me. You know. Like,
all right. So we have been gone way over time. Aaron, unless you have something to button up this conversation.
I kind of want to wrap this up here a little bit because everything we're talking about across the board is accepting people for who they are. And I mean, like, you know, even in the case of murder, like it never has to come to that. Right. I mean, if we think about Christianity is love thy neighbor, you know? And so there should anyone like the Westboro Baptist Church drives me crazy because you cannot be a Christian and hate everything. Right?
I got it, guys.
Oh,
sorry,
go ahead. Aaron, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
If you guys want to know who these people are, they're not Bangladesh. They're Malaysian. And they're fighting for a pure Malay race. And I'm not fucking kidding you.
Wow.
I will send you the article. There's actually a cool documentary on it. When I say cool, it's entertaining. But neo-Nazis exist, whether you're black, white. I'm crazy. But black, white, Hispanic, they exist in the most interesting parts of the world.
They're Nazis in their culture.
Yes. Yeah.
They adopt
the ideology, but they adopt the ideology of Hitler.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, to quickly wrap this up, we all have that drawing line. There is we all have that thing that's going to separate art from the artist. I think we all have something.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Something with that. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. How are we for time? We're going into extra innings.
We're way over time.
Okay, well, thank you so much, you guys, for sitting down tonight, and you know.
So the conundrum, Stewie, is what are we going out on?
What we are going out on, actually, at the top of the show, and this is something that we can all agree on. At the top of the show, it was our unfortunate obligation to announce that one Stig Bjorn the Boss Forsberg passed away. Now, who that gentleman, if you do not know, he is the owner, operator, proprietor of the Black Mark Productions that got left to him when his son passed away. And his son we know best as Quarthon, who is also better known as Bathory. Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Forsberg Sr. recently passed away, and we want to give out our condolences to the rest of the Forsberg family, and we are going to go out in tribute to that great man with Marduk doing a rendition of Bathory's Woman of Dark Desires, and I particularly chose Marduk as well because that is a band that as you recall maybe about 8 months ago or whatever, the Antifa organization really came down hard on them, calling them Nazis and calling them out and, you know, accused them of being all of this, which quite frankly I do not see that because we've covered Marduk and followed them and had them on the show and all that. So I think it's kind of appropriate that we kind of went out on that. So enjoy. And in the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been, I don't even remember what it was. This has been a Varging episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
I'm Corrine.
And this is Aaron.
Signing off.
Yeah.
us at radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on purerockradio.net. You can listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to radioactivemetal.org or clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail, we want to hear from you. Call 321 80 Heavy or 321 804 3289. We will play it on the show. For suggestions and indie spotlight submissions, email us at radmetal666@gmail.com. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and Instagram Radioactive Metal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal, this, it's Radioactive Metal.